Whenever the phone rings, you can get news that will change your life forever. Take Ryan here, for example. He's just received one of those phone calls. He's just been informed that his good friend Tom has been killed in a motorcycle accident. Only 25 years old, and now he's gone forever. But gone where? What happens after death? Ryan doesn't think a lot about death. In fact, he tries to avoid thinking about it altogether. But on some days, reality breaks in, and it just can't be ignored. Today is one of those days. His best friend is dead. It's just so hard to believe. He just talked to him yesterday. It might seem strange to talk about death on Easter, but Easter is the very best day to think about it. The Easter story is the story of Jesus' death and 3 days later, his resurrection. This is the day that reminds the whole world that Jesus defeated death for all who believe in him. For the Christian, death is only a passage into a better life that we were all intended to live. That's why this morning we're celebrating. Still, though, there's a lot of people who are afraid of death. It's the fear of not existing or the fear of the unknown. Everyone has asked themselves at some point, what happens when we die? Almost everyone intuitively knows that death is not the end. In fact, every culture and religion that anthropologists have ever found believes that our life does not end with our death, that something else happens. The Bible is perfectly clear. After death, there are only two possibilities: life with God or life without God. We call one heaven and we call the other hell. And our life here on earth determines our eternal destiny. A lot of people think that it's easy for a man or a woman to go into hell. It's not true. The truth is that it's not easy to go into eternity without God at all. The Bible tells us that the Lord doesn't want anyone to spend eternity without him. Because he loves us, He's placed barriers in our path, signs that point us to him, in order to keep us from going into eternity without God. This morning, we're going to travel down the road to Ryan's life. His is a road similar to what many are traveling on today, seemingly oblivious to God. It's a road paved with all the opportunities and pursuits of this life. It's also on this road that we encounter the barriers they will have to get past in order to be lost. The first barrier is the church. Most people in the United States are in reach of a church. There's a church, it seems, on almost every street corner in America. We drive by them on our way to work, and invitations come in our mailboxes. It's hard to ignore. We see and hear their services broadcast on our radio and television and across social media. Hundreds of churches right here in our own city have labored and strategized and prayed to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen. Every Bible-believing church on every corner in America is a signpost on the road of life and a blockade to eternal death. Ryan here has been invited to church many times. He even attended church with his friend Tom several times before the tragic accident that took Tom's life. The Bible says it would be better to have never heard the truth than to hear it and ignore it. If someone has their heart set on eternity without God, they must trample over every sermon that they've ever heard. They must ignore the witness of every church in America. Ryan, like all of us, will have to trample over this barrier in order to go to hell.
The next barrier is friends. It's another barrier that God has put in our lives. Many people, some of you maybe here this morning, have friends who are Christians. That's why you're here. It may surprise you, but in all probability, that friend of yours has been praying for you on a regular basis. Been praying for things that happen in your life. maybe your relationship, your marriage, your children. And why is that? It's simply because he or she cares for you. And maybe even this friend has been telling you how being a Christian has so radically changed their life. And it's not like they're trying to get you to join a club or some organization. They simply understand what Jesus meant when he said, I came to this world to give you life and that you would live an abundant life. You've probably observed that they're trying to live life differently. They're not perfect. But how they handle their problems, their confidence in making decisions, and hopefully their marriage is different. I believe God has placed this friend in your life to speak the truth to you. Therefore, your Christian friend at some point might question or challenge you on a certain aspect of your life. And before you get upset at them and think, you know, who are you? Ask yourself the question, why are they doing this? The answer is simply that they care about you. And they know that Jesus has a plan for your life. And they don't want you to miss it. And they certainly do not want you to face death in eternity without receiving the gift of eternal life that Jesus won for us on Calvary. To go into eternity without God, people have to trample over and ignore the friends in their life.
The Bible. It's God's blueprint for us. It's the owner's manual that God gives us for life. The Bible is a guide that is intended to put you on the path to eternal life and to help you experience the abundant life that God promises you here on earth. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And he does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death and into life." The truth in the Bible can put you on the path of life today, or it can condemn you tomorrow. The Bible points you to your Savior. Someday, all of us are going to stand before him. The Apostle John had a vision in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It said, "The dead, both small and great, were standing before God." There's over 6 billion Bibles in circulation in almost 5,000 different languages. Almost every single house in America has at least one Bible. But to know the truth, you have to read it. Ryan's thought a lot about reading the Bible. He's been convicted that he should many times. But there's always something that ends up distracting him. Ryan even has lots of opinions about the Bible. But he's never really read it for himself. God has given us his word to show us the way to eternal life and to warn us not to ignore the promises that God has made us. If you're ultimately to be lost, you're going to have to run through the roadblock of the word of God. How careless Ryan has been with this precious gift that God has given him.
The next barrier that God puts in our way is our conscience. Each person is born with a conscience. Romans 1 tells us that God has placed the knowledge of himself in every human being. If you study other cultures, it's interesting to see how other cultures have a sense of God's moral law. No one's told them. How do they know what's right and wrong? They have a whole series of things that are right and wrong, and most of them many times line up with God's word. Your conscience is like a candle burning in the inner depth of your heart, telling you the difference between right and wrong. Your conscience is described as a candle or lamp. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching out all the inner depths of his heart. This moral searchlight is given by God to every person on earth. Almost all societies have laws against killing and stealing. Where did they get these ideas from? Where did they come to understand that these things are wrong? It comes from the God-given conscience. The Bible also tells us that if a human being continually goes against the conscience at some point will be ineffective in letting that person discern good from evil, right from wrong. 1 Peter 4:2 tells us that our conscience can be seared like a hot iron. In other words, our conscience can become callous. It can be hardened. And at that point, it becomes very difficult for a person to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil. There is no greater preacher than God's Spirit working through the conscience. Often people feel miserable, conflicted, when they resist God's Spirit working through their conscience. God has given each of us his faithful witness inside of us. Many have ignored their family and friends, but were unable to resist God's Spirit tugging at them through their conscience. If you go into eternity without God, you are going to have to trample over the God-given conscience that is placed in all of us.
The prayers of others. Many of the opportunities that you've had in your life to know and to see God have come because, whether you know it or not, someone who loves you was praying for you. The Bible says when a believing person prays, great things happen. Many relatives and friends pray fervently that their loved ones might accept Jesus Christ as Savior and not be lost. They pray that they will not miss the opportunities and blessings that God has for them in this life and the life to come. There is perhaps no more impassioned barrier in our lives than the prayers of our loved ones. Many times, they are the only ones who continue to pray over those long years, even when it seems like their prayers might not be answered. Ryan's grandma has been praying for her grandson for many years. And his friends and his relatives have been praying that he would be saved. In fact, here in this very sanctuary, every single week, fervent prayers are made for children and co-workers and spouses and loved ones who are on the road to destruction. In order to enter into eternity without God, you're going to have to completely ignore the prayers of the people who love you.
The next barrier is the sorrows of life. All of us, at one time or another, are going to be faced with the sorrows of life. You might be maybe involved in a breakup of some relationship, a marriage, divorce, maybe a relationship you thought was leading to marriage. Maybe you have recently received bad news concerning an illness that you have that's going to affect your future. People who you have relied on are going to fail you. Things that you trust in are going to fail. The loss of a loved one, husband, wife, father, mother. A well-loved voice is now silent, and the ramification of that silence is beginning to sink in. There will be times in all of our lives where we will feel as if we were crawling in a valley floor. The burden, the sorrow, the loss, the loneliness, and the thoughts about the future press in on us. We don't want to think about the future. Often at times like this, God's Holy Spirit will try to speak to us. Remind us that Jesus came into the world to share in that situation with us, to help us overcome it. The book of Psalms is really a collection of truths about God. Excuse me. Truths that King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, learned in many cases during the sorrows of life. King David learned that God speaks to us through his mercy, his compassion, and his love during times of sorrow. In my own life, he did that, and many of us here today. The sorrows of life caused us to seek after God because the burden, the loss, was more than we thought we could handle. Because God loves us, each and every one of us, he is going to try to speak to us through the sorrows of life. His message of comfort, strength, and peace is water to a thirsty and parched soul. The question for so many of us is, are we listening? If a man or woman is going to go into eternity without God, miss out on the abundant life that God has for them, they'll have to trample over the many times that God is going to try to speak to all of us through the sorrows of life.
This next barrier is the highest of all. It's as high as a mountain. In fact, it is a mountain. It's Calvary, where Jesus was crucified on the cross. Three people died at Calvary that day. Two thieves and the Son of God. The Savior of men. The sacrificial lamb who died for our sins. A crown of thorns was pushed on his brow. A spear was shoved into his side until blood and water gushed forth. He truly did die for you and for me on that mountain outside of Jerusalem. Some years earlier, Tom had taken Ryan to see the movie The Passion of the Christ. Sitting through that movie was an overwhelming experience. Ryan had to admit he had never really thought much about Christ's crucifixion, but watching those graphic scenes depicted was disturbing. Once outside the theater, though, he tried to push those images out of his mind. Back at Ryan's house, he and Tom sat talking for a long time. Whenever Ryan had a question, Tom had an answer from the Bible that he carried with him. But Ryan was still skeptical. He just didn't want to believe. When Tom left that night, Ryan was still unconvinced of the truth of who Jesus is and the reality of what he did on the cross. God has done everything that he could to save you. The next barrier God places on the way to hell is Calvary. And if you go to hell, you'll first have to trample over the bruised body of Jesus of Nazareth.
The final barrier is the empty tomb. Today we celebrate a fact of history, the empty tomb. A historical event which has more impact on your life than any decision you ever make. Anything that'll happen to you. Nothing that has ever happened is more important in your life than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact of Jesus' resurrection has already changed millions of lives in the first 3 months of this year, as it did mine. Jesus' resurrection from the dead 3 days after he was crucified is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul tells us that our faith is worthless if Christ did not rise from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the Bible can't be trusted. And who would want to base their life on a book that can't be trusted? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we who are Christians are merely putting our faith in a myth, a fairy tale. You might be asking, well, how can you be so sure of Jesus' resurrection, of something that happened 2,000 years ago? Well, in the case of Jesus, we can be really sure. Not only does the New Testament give us precise information about Jesus, but many contemporary non-Christian historians wrote of him. And I don't want to bore you with their names. That Jesus was crucified, that his dead body was put into a tomb, and 3 days later, his body was missing from that heavily guarded tomb is a historical fact beyond dispute. There are more written documents giving us details of Jesus' death before, during, and after than any other person in all of the ancient world. 500 people saw him over a period of 40 days after he had risen from the dead. The Apostle Peter tells the Christians in Corinth, if you're doubting that Jesus rose from the dead, go talk to the many who are still alive. Talk to them. They saw him. There were far too many people in the city of Jerusalem who could have thoroughly contradicted and squelched what Jesus' disciples were saying about Jesus, that he had risen from the dead. They couldn't. They couldn't squelch it. They couldn't keep it down because too many people had seen him alive. We're told in Matthew 28, and I read it at the beginning of this service, that at dawn on the first day of the week, a severe earthquake occurred, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled away that large stone. His appearance was like lightning. His garments were white as snow, and the guards in front of the tomb shook for fear of him. In other words, they fell down as dead men. As our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walked out of that tomb. That's what we celebrate today. If you're a Christian, your life will never be the same because of the power of Christ that lives within you, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The fact that Jesus walked out of that tomb substantiates everything Jesus said about life and death, about the promises of God. The Bible tells us that it's God's will that each of you, that each of us experience, first of all, eternal life after death, but also an abundant life here on earth. Being lost, missing eternal life, missing the abundant life that God has for us, is not as easy as people think. It's hard. It's hard to crash through all these barriers that we've gone through this morning. That's what this message is about. It takes a great deal of effort for someone to knock down these barriers that God puts in front of our life. The most quoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What happened on that first Easter Sunday continues to transform lives today. We see it on a regular basis. When the angel declared the good news at the empty tomb, he is not here, he is risen, he was declaring to each of us the possibility of a new life. So the greatest final barrier is the empty tomb. Not a myth, not a legend, historical fact. The final barrier that keeps us, that separates us from God, is a miracle of the empty tomb. The finest barrier that God puts in front of us so that we don't have to be separated from God is the empty tomb. For Ryan, for any of us, to miss out on the gift of eternal life, the gift of abundant life, we have to ignore the fact of the empty tomb. But fortunately, the barriers that God put in Ryan's life, we've gone through today, had its effect. One evening alone, thinking about eternity, thinking about his life, thinking about what his friends had been telling him, Ryan got on his knees and gave his life to Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment he did that, the Holy Spirit came into life, the power of the resurrected Christ came in his life, and his life will never be the same. He will live it differently. He will experience it differently. And that's what we celebrate today. Amen.
You guys can stand.
to go and freedom, and you have given us freedom, and you have given us freedom, and hallelujah, and freedom, you have given us freedom, you have given us freedom, and my chains are gone. Freedom, you have given us freedom, you have given us freedom, and hallelujah. Oh, I have resurrection power living on the inside. No longer bound by sin.
Praise the Lord. I need you to sit down. I promise I'm not going to keep you long. No, I promise. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I don't lie. I can't help. You know, I stand back there and I look at that video. And see, for me, each one of those lives, I mean, it's just not they're real people with real issues, but they're never going to be the same. Paul said that when a person becomes a Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that person becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. And I want to challenge every Christian in here. Is that the way you're living your life? You have the power of God in your very being. You should be living the abundant life. And if you are not, it's not God's fault. That wasn't in my notes, that's extra. If Easter is about anything, it's about celebrating what Christ won on the cross. It's a possibility for live an abundant life here and ultimately eternal life. 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son into our world. See, there was a problem. It's called sin. And sin is just simply the unholy things we do, the bad things we do, how we treat people, you know, that type of thing. And if you don't sin, I've got a land somewhere I can sell you something. We're all sinners. That's what the Bible says. But that sin, that unholiness, separates us from God. God is a holy God. The Bible says there's no shadow in God. No darkness. And for us to have, and Jesus, God created mankind, womankind, to have relationship with him. He's got a problem since the fall. All sin, all unholiness has to be dealt with. God is a just God. So Jesus sent his son. And I want you to think about something. God is an eternal God. There's no time. So I honestly believe that at some time when Jesus was on the cross, he was dying for you. Your name, your personal name, my name, David Frederick Hoffman, came before God in heaven as Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he said, forgiven. Because of that forgiveness, I can have a relationship with God. I have the power of God's Holy Spirit in my life. I just thought about something I didn't talk about the other three services. When the doctor said, you got cancer, I wonder what it would have been like if I wouldn't have the power of God's Spirit. If you're visiting a church, I'm healed, I'm fine, I'm staying around. My dear wife doesn't get the insurance yet. Jesus Christ makes all the difference. All you and I have to do is accept the obvious, the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Well, first of all, you got to recognize you're a sinner. And I like to talk to anybody since they're not a sinner. We all do bad things. And just ask the Lord to forgive you and ask him in his life. And I'm going to read you my favorite three verses in the Bible. If you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, don't miss this, the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's amazing. First time I read that, I went, holy cow. And then it made sense. The power that created the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, comes inside and lives in you. How in the world how can you be disappointed? You live for Jesus. Ultimately, you're going to be. I'm not saying that bad things aren't going to happen. I had to deal with cancer. I had to go through surgery and all that stuff. But God was merciful. I don't have time to go into that. Let's all stand.